who is the center. Because we can say, but my message is the gospel. You know, so it should automatically be received. Not necessarily, as we know in reality. Yes, there's the spiritual dimensions that are there. But there's also human factors that are involved here. And then finally, how we apply all this in church context, and that when we communicate, we are communicating for positive change. Right? And just some assignments just to actually help you along in the kind of course syllabus that you have here. You actually have 2 pages of it, which gives you some reading possibilities that are there. Even the page numbers and so on are listed out. So I believe Sister Barbara will help us get this to you. Otherwise, you know, if you have the books for yourself or look for it in the library, you can start reading already and help you get into the thinking of communications. The fun part about this, even though it's just the 2 days, is that by some point in today, you should either get together in groups, it's up to you, or if you think, oh, I'd like to try this, to do this by myself, you can do a mini communication project. By this I mean, you have in mind a specific group of people, and you can do research online, or you can look for some books on these people. Let's say you all are going to India, and you want to look for a specific group in India, maybe the Tamil speaking. Okay, that's one. One point is their language, but it could be the Tamil speaking fishermen. So you're getting even more specific, who are in Tamil Nadu. So you get more and more specific to the group that you think you want to reach out to, even though it's theoretically. Then you say, okay, I know a little bit of this group. This group likes singing. They like drama. They like this and that as a method or a means of communication. But what message that will be, you know, meet some need that they have, and this can be a, you know, a felt need, as I said, but as a means of entrance into their real need of the gospel. So we will discuss this a little bit more, but you can work in groups for this, or if you feel you want to work as an individual, it's also possible. But your presentations will not be more than 10 minutes. Maybe some of you are good songwriters. Maybe some of you are good choreographers. Do a creative dance that has a meaning, not just for fun dancing. Or you like to write poetry. Or you can do a drama. Whatever it may be, creative. Okay? That is targeted to that people group. Okay? All right. So, yeah, here I give a bit more information. It could be you need to do the research, make the proposals or thinking behind how to communicate, and then, you know, strategic way this song or dance or drama can reach out to them. So some examples is like this. You can think about foreign workers, overseas foreign workers, very big in Philippines and who have gone overseas or something, or foreign workers who come here to work. People living in particular areas, street people, vendors. In Baguio City, there's such a ministry that reach out to the street people. Or specific generational groups such as children, youth, and students and so on. Okay? So you can do it by yourself. Choose which group you are looking at, even senior citizens. It could be from your own culture, but also from another culture, for which, you know, you should find out, but then give us some background and then do an actual production. Okay? So we're going to have fun. I know the time is limited because you only have today and part of tomorrow, and we have a lot of classes in between, but try it. Do it. Something very simple. I'm not asking for Hollywood production. Okay? I'm asking for the level you can. Alright. So, any questions about this?
Sorry, can I ask, like, if we make this project, we have to video that, or...
Yeah, you do it live. If you want to video, it's okay. You can show by a video.
So we come here to present about our project, but yes. We can show the video or you can ask people that we work with to come in.
Yeah, if they can, if they want to, yeah. You can use it. I mean, think of it as a start of something you could use in the future, not just for this class. That will be best. Okay. So you all did talk among yourselves. I suggest you work in groups. It's easier and faster, and then you don't have to do one. And maybe, you know, you're already in a way in teams already. It may be a natural kind of connection you have. And those who are kind of more random, you can still talk about something you want to do for a certain people group, and then just... zero in. Okay, so the last hour of tomorrow, say between 3 and 4, will be roughly the presentations. All right. So let me know about this, and if possible, even email me. My email is chaitheresa@gmail.com. Give you all a bit of time afterwards between that this connect with each other, and then email me, or maybe we have this idea or that idea. Okay? Alright. Good. Now we're gonna start with this topic. God who communicates. I will give a little break at about 2:30. Okay, so bear with me. Another 40 minutes, I guess. Okay. We learn from the best, and that is God Himself, who actually is the communicator. And if we talk about missionary, Jesus was the most radical missionary because He came from heaven to earth. So that's more radical than we will ever have to face, because we're still dealing with going from human being to human being, earth to earth, you know, country to country. So when we look at this whole area of God communicating, and of course, when we say we're doing Christian communications, difference is that we put God in the picture. You know, like Marie says, she has been doing, you know, web page and so on. And there are many, of course, mass communicators in this work who are not Christians, and they do a great job. Hollywood, Bollywood, from China, something, from Korea, Korean drama, very famous everywhere, you know, everybody's looking and all that. So the people who are very skilled in communications. And we as Christians need to be equally skilled or more skilled, because the message we have is an important one for the people around us. So evangelism is communications. And it means it is two-way street. Christian communications is because we have the authority and the message of the Word of God. This is what we use. We don't have to look elsewhere for material. We already have our communications manual. We have our communications message that is there. And the church needs to do effective communications. We always have tried to just say, well, we just put on radio or TV or put out a book or a track, and people should, as I said earlier, we think automatically receive it because it's the Word of God. It's the gospel. They should, you know, the Holy Spirit should just zap them and they should just believe. But in reality, some of our communication is very shoddy, very unprofessional, very badly done, actually, when we compare to what others can put out. We are changing, quality is getting better, but we're still not there. And so we have not learned to use the tools of communication very well. So when we use communication, we can use all sorts of methods. There are a variety of things. If you look at the Bible also has variety. God doesn't communicate just in one way. He uses his creation, he uses people, prophets, pastors, apostles. He gets the attention of people by doing mighty acts. Who can argue with the parting of the Red Sea? Who can argue with a pillar of cloud and fire leading the people of God? Who can argue with all these mighty acts of God? I was just talking to our Nepali students. They happened to be staying with me for a few days. And they were sharing how in her family they became Christians. And it's because of her healing. Her mother was very, very sick. Everybody thought that she will die. All her relatives, all the neighbors, you know, they were Hindu. And so they went here and there to the different shamans, witch doctor, whatever, medical doctor. No, no help. And even the witch doctor said, no, we cannot do anything. I think the gods want you dead. Can you imagine? So they had no hope in anything else. But then a Christian came to them, shared with them the gospel, and they were at a desperate point. Her healing was not immediate. She talked about like it was a year later before her mother was completely healed. But now when her mother shares the gospel, when she invites people to the church, the people know her. They knew she should be dead. So they cannot argue with that. And so when she shares her testimony and invite them, some, of course, you know, kind of culturally say yes and never turn up. But others actually sincerely say yes and go to church and hear the gospel. So when God does mighty acts, these are communication acts. And we need to use this. And of course, His Holy Spirit communicates, and the church should be communicating. So we can easily build a Christian or a theological viewpoint on communication. And we need to do that. We need to be very clear what the Bible says about communicating. Because we do not communicate to deceive. We do not communicate to force people to believe. It must be something that they do voluntarily and willingly and with a level of understanding, not just, you know, as the Catholic Church did many, many years ago, just go around the city and spread holy water and said everybody is baptized according to the Caesar of that day. So for Christians, we want that people actually understand what Jesus has done for them. And when they receive him, he is with them. So God is our model of communication. The church then must follow as excellent communicators. And that the mission that we have is to restore communication between God and human beings, just as we have been restored into that relationship with God. Because relationship is about communication as well. You know, that's why we have the ability to talk with God and He with us. That is communication. So the criticism of Christian communication. Something that if we go the way of media or using internet and so on, we may become the electronic church. And that is a fair criticism. I think we need to always be wary on the effects of media. Before we have this kind of ability with cell phones or internet and so on, life was simpler, right? You're not in communication with everybody all the time. Now you are. There are people who never go to church, but they go to church through the internet or through the television. And that's church for them. They think they're having community and they're having friends by that way. And that can be a danger, because then they only think for themselves and they don't interact really with people. And they can build their own false ideas as a result. They will begin to think, oh, I don't need fellowship with other Christians. It doesn't matter. For me, high tech we can use for the glory of God, but we must not lose what I call high touch. This connection with people, that always must be there. So we can never be just an electronic church. The media, the possibility of this is for maybe like people who are sick or unable to come for whatever reason. But even they need pastoral visit. They still need to see a pastor and have someone touch them and pray for them.
It's a pardon the interruption, I've got to mention. You didn't turn on.
Yes.
What time you want to take a break?
2:30.
Yeah. There's snacks over here, and there'll be coffee and stuff. Neither Barb's or not, or I'll be here.
Okay.
So,
no worries.
So pardon me the interruption.
We'll do that. Another critique on this is that we will compromise the truth, that we won't really present what the gospel is saying. Well, that is on our part to guard that we do not misconstrue anything or misrepresent anything. You know, secular or worldly ways of advertising, sometimes they do false advertisement. They say this product can do such and such for you. You use it and it doesn't. You know? But as Christians, when we communicate the gospel, when we communicate from the Bible, we don't want to communicate blue skies and everything nice. We have done that in the past, where people come to know the Lord, and then we say, oh, you will be blessed, everything will be well for you, you know. Then they go home, they get persecuted. And they say, what did you say? I will be blessed, I will be well. And then my mother wants to beat me up. My father is chasing me out of my house. We don't prepare them for the hard things. No, I think the gospel actually doesn't teach that. We are the one who thought we better make it easy for them. But actually, we are almost telling them a lie. Because they face the reality, it's not easy to be a Christian. See? So, we are the ones to guard against compromising the truth. So, thinking even of the word communication, it's all about relationships. It is about sharing ideas and information. It's about even living in a certain area or space that is common. And it's about showing deep friendship and love that is there. Because God does that. It's not about just getting a message across. Sometimes I think people think evangelism is like guerrilla warfare, or it's like hit and run, you know. That I just bombard them with the gospel message and then leave it, because the Holy Spirit will take over. Actually, the most effective way is when we live among the people. Jesus didn't just like spacemen drop down on earth, tell them, I'm the Son of God, believe in me, and you will be safe. And then zoom up to heaven. What was it? He lived for 33 years before he had to die and resurrect. He didn't just come and go. He was what we say, a model of incarnation. So that's why as missionaries, your most effective mission strategy is your own life. That's what they're watching. They're not just hearing your words. They're looking at how you live your life. Do you walk the talk? Or you just talk? And don't live what you are talking about. So strike the balance. How can media be effectively used in the church? What are the guidelines? How can we reach people who don't read? Some people become overtly suspicious about theory, and I won't be teaching you about theory and somewhat about strategy, not too much, don't have the time. And then a naive position that just by sending out the message, as I've been sending, saying that anything Christian, people will receive. So your turn to speak. In what ways have you seen media really effective in the church? Are there some examples you can give? PowerPoint? Good. That's a simple one, but effective. People not only hear, say, can visualize. Because hearing, if I just speak without anything to guide you what I'm speaking, can be one, boring. Number two, you may not even catch the words I'm saying or the point I want to make. So yeah, PowerPoint can be effective. But some people are good storytellers, and without the PowerPoint, they are the PowerPoint. Others? Videos, you think? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, not all videos are that great. You have to always evaluate on, you know, quality and effectiveness. Yeah.
Radio. Okay. Because 80% of Hmong people in Vietnam, they receive Jesus by radio. Mm-hmm. They heard from Chiang Mai radio, and then they believe Jesus.
Voice of Peace in Thailand.
Yes.
And they are often, you know, making the recordings for the different groups. But the thing is also that they've done their research on the Hmong people.
Oh, because in Chiang Mai, the language is similar to Hmong people.
Mm-hmm.
They can understand like 70 or 80% of Thai,
mm-hmm.
So they understand.
But what kind of programs did they make so that the Hmong people are that interested to listen?
That is the Christian channel,
mm-hmm.
on radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When they share the God's word and also testimony.
Okay. So the testimonies, stories, also, you know, in fact, they're not just preaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've often thought just preaching is the effective way, but preaching can be only one, sometimes only feel like one way direction. It doesn't cause the person necessary to think carefully about what is being said.
And also, like, Hmong people really scare ghosts,
mm-hmm.
and they are hunger for spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So when they listen to they think God is like highest God. So they really like, how can I say, like fear of God.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Any other examples you want to give?
Movies.
Yeah, sure. There are actually difference. And let me ask you, what do you think the difference between movie on the big screen and movie we watch here or on the computer? Jesus film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in many, many languages. In fact, well, there's also, you have to explain to the people watching. In some cases, they've never been to a movie theater, and they were like, went behind and say, where are the giants? Hiding. Because they thought they were real people, and so big, you know, suddenly. But they are effective. They have been, results on this, on salvation and so on. Okay, and I think it's a campus crusade, right?
Just a short video,
mm-hmm.
from mobile application,
yes.
and just show it to the people. It can be about love, anything,
yeah.
and then connect it to Jesus and how God loves, and share the gospel to the people. Just a few minutes.
Yeah.
Do you have time to watch a video? They say yes. If we come, do you have to listen to us? We will share about Jesus. They will say no, right? So just, you know, watch a movie and then they, discussing. And
so possibilities are there. Mm-hmm. The means is not sinful. Okay? It's what the message that we bring. And how we persuade people, not force them. It's important. So, communication is a process and not just an event. In other words, when someone comes to know Christ and you happen to be the right person at the right time, sharing with them, you know, in whatever way, we do not know behind the story,
mm-hmm.
how they came to this place. Actually, there have been people, of course, praying for them. There may be people who witnessed to them before you that they said no at that time, but happened at that particular moment and time, God touched them in a way they cannot deny, and they accepted Christ. And you think, oh, it's me. I'm the one, you know. Actually, many, many things have been prepared before that person comes to Christ. So it's not an event. It has been a process. So each event will be a part of the big picture. So we need to conceptualize the process and develop strategies and how to apply the communication principles we learn. So there are four things that we should see as part of this big picture we are talking about. And that is, we are dealing with the process, we're dealing with theory here, and many of these things may overlap. I want to look at this picture as people who are involved in the process. And so when we think about Christian communication, there are people who are the theorists, who know communication theory and process and models and things theoretically. And they can share this, teach this, train this to other people. And with that knowledge, you have another group, which may be the same person, but maybe others who are adding to this, who are planners. They're very good at seeing, oh yeah, we could use this video thing in this manner. We can, you know, make a little pamphlet or track that can go alongside. And they are planning the strategy, how to use this, how this could work for this people group. And then you have the person who actually goes and uses this. All the other people, they have done all the other work. They give them the product, they give them the track, they give them the video, they show them the drama, and then they act it out, you know, like YWAM, Youth with a Mission. They do a lot of drama, you know. But other people already thought about how this drama should be. The mission team only like, okay, you do this part, you do that part, and then we put together this drama. See, so they're the generalists, they are the users. And then part of that is also people who are the producers, who are the ones who modify the product, who have some more ideas to make it creative, and so on like that. So when you see, these are people that you need on your team to make it effective, to use the methodology, to use the actual product at the end of the day. You need each other. It's not just a one-person show. And so the theories have the theoretical part, study strategies, they define the plan, the specialists, they produce the product and programs, and the generalists, they distribute and use the program. So all media people are needed. Nobody is less than the other. So don't go at it alone. That's part of the reason why I would prefer, when you're doing this little mini project, to do it in groups. Okay? You'll catch Grace up on what she needs to do. But I think roughly you can be in groups of twos, threes. I think will be good. Okay? Let's see how it come up. All right. So what's so Christian about Christian communication? This is important. In our communication, God has already revealed himself. We are but enhancing that to let other people know who this God is. He has revealed himself to us. Now we are revealing him to others or sharing the same message of his revelation. Christ has commissioned the church to communicate, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preaching is not just the speaking, but as you are going, disciple people, as you are going, give them this message, train them. And then for Christians, it's not a numbers game, or it should not be. In some ministries, it has been. I know when we record or we report real numbers, I'm fine. I rejoice with that. But I've also heard of people who just want to inflate the numbers, make the numbers bigger than they are, because it's very impressive to say 100,000 people came to know the Lord. Then we say, oh, just 10 people? It's not so big a deal, right? The Bible says even one comes to the Lord, the whole heaven is rejoicing. So it's not about the numbers. You know, the one, the two, the 10 could be the next Billy Graham. He has gone to be with the Lord. But Vietnam may need a Billy Graham. Korea may need a Billy Graham. And so on and so on. Christian communication should be and is actually superior. We are the ones who have made it not so good because we didn't seek for excellence and the quality. Do not mix up what are the concerns and variables, and we will come to that shortly. So, do you have any questions? Yes, please. People are even paying to see a Christian movie because it is of good quality. I think there was one also, maybe was it called Walking with Giants? That's what also made it, you know, into the secular market and so on. And then, of course, Miracles. Before then, actually, our movies never make it to the box office. It was not good enough. The quality was very low. The acting was very bad. And, you know, people just didn't want to see. It's like, what is this, you know? But now, they're wanting, they're willing to show these movies. And so, coming to that point. So, God really wants to make himself known, and he's done it through various ways. We talked about that briefly, through creation, his acts of greatness, miracles, and so on. Of course, through Christ, and of course, through the Holy Spirit. And we also have said that Jesus is the one who sets the stage through his incarnation. And that we are here also to recreate or restore the perfect communication between God and human beings. So we as the Christian communicators must be completely identified with the message preached. We cannot live differently than what we say we should. Cannot overemphasize this. I taught another course, Mimi was in that course, where I've talked about some preachers who have preached great messages and have effective results. But when we look behind into their lives, they were drunkards, pornography, all sorts of things that they did. They were sinful, take God's money, things that caused them to fall. God is God, he still used them, but to a certain point where it cannot go on forever and ever. We need to live the life of holiness that God has called us to. So God is the one as the master communicator. Instead, he wants to be understood correctly so that the appropriate response can be obtained. Understanding must be the primary concern. We do not want to present God as Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
We do not want to present God as with a big stick. And if you don't believe, you go to hell. And yes, you will, but that's not the first line to share with people. That they get scared, and that's why they become Christians. Motivation should not be fear. Motivation should not be, what can I get from God? It should be love. God loves you. You respond to that love. You understand what God has done for you. And therefore, you respond in
it.
You know that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. Not because there are other options. He's just one of the many gods that is in Hinduism. No. So, God wants to be understood correctly. And as such, he uses language, culture, and human form. You know, many of us, and this is telling age, I guess, grew up reading first and foremost King James Version as English readers. And the honest truth is, the confession is, I did not understand everything I read. It just was very beautiful language. These and thous and all the words with TH at the end, beloved, given, dweller, you know. Sounds so poetic. But for most people, they did not understand what it meant. It was only when we begin to read New International Version, which is still quite high, but then we also made available a Good News Version, a vernacular or a very common language, we say, version. And when we look at Jesus, why does it specifically always tell us he spoke in Aramaic? Aramaic was a very common language. It was a very, in a way, rough or unrefined language. It's the language they use in the streets, in the marketplace, among people who may not, you know, be of any high education. But it was the language people understood. And that was Jesus. He wants to communicate. He didn't have to use high English. Someone tells a story about Papua New Guinea. Maybe Benjamin can correct me if I'm wrong. I've only been there once, really, to Port Moresby. And there's a special word that you use, or words that you use in Pidgin English, that almost sound very crude and very rude and maybe even bordering on vulgar in English. But it's actually Pidgin English, and it's like very acceptable words in Pidgin English. So this preacher was preaching and the interpreter was interpreting. And each time he interpreted into Pidgin English, he tried to say the same thing in another way, in English, in his English. But in Pidgin, he kept on saying the same way. And finally, he said, can't you say it in another way? He said, no, that is all the vocabulary equal to what you just said. You know? So it was like, you know, some words that he thought was very rude. But even if it's rude sounding to us, to the person who's listening, if they receive that as the truth, then so be it. As long as we are saying the truth. You know, if you go and talk to young people, and if you talk in a certain way that's not cool to them, in whatever language it is, they're not listening to you. That's old-fashioned already. Another generation, you know. If you're talking to someone who's been in surfing or biking or rough kind of life and so on, and you try to speak very refined way and so on, they will, you know, trying to make me feel small. That's how they will think about it. You know, sometimes when our students have gone back to their own country and they've learned English here and they want to continue to use it, when they go back to their own country, they cannot find anybody who will actually talk with them in English. And when they talk, they have told me, no, I cannot, because my friend will say, I'm now very proud because I know English. I'm showing off to them that I'm English speaking. So they revert, of course, they use mother tongue, and then they forget the English they have learned here. But that's okay. That's okay. Your main point is that you want to use a way of communication. So, are our church services looking more like rituals? Our buildings, are they so big, so fantastic, so wonderful that a person cannot go in to our churches? Because, wow, you know, holy place. I'm so glad IPC is in, you know, in the hotel, the Prime Hotel. Because we don't think it's a hotel. Of course, you can go there and eat and so on. Oh, they're having church there. Oh, why don't I just go in? Very nice music. Are they having disco or are they having party there? Let me go in and see. But if our church service was in a cathedral, oh, wow, God is there. Holy, holy. I cannot go in. I'm not holy. Let me end with this story. We had a hairstylist friend. I was also in evangelism and we're in this shopping complex, and our neighbor shop was a hairstylist, and he was very gay. And one day we kept on saying, you know, can he come to church? One day he turned up. He didn't tell anybody, and he was even more gay than he has ever been by his dressing. He purposely streaked his hair and everything so that everybody knows he's different. I was very embarrassed, not because of him. It was because he sat down in our pew. That time our church had still pews. People looked at him. Move away. Nobody wants to sit by him because he's gay. He's not accepted there. Are our churches like that? How do we communicate to people? No, we don't. We hate the sin. We know it's not. The Bible says what the Bible says about homosexuality. But if we don't love the sinner, he or she will never come to the Lord. Because they cannot even come to our church. They're not the right kind of person. So think about that during our break. Let's take a break, okay? Leaders to prepare that, okay, in 1 year's time, Billy Graham will come to preach in this huge evangelistic meeting. But in order for this to be effective, we must already begin to build the bridges with people, need to bring friends to that meeting. And that, you know, this is for the preaching of the gospel, not for Christians to come and to see who Billy Graham is. It's not a show. So for me, the effectiveness is that part where you have, first of all, built a unity among the Christians, and that the Christians are, you know, reaching out to their friends, to their colleagues, to present them the gospel. And Billy Graham, when he comes, and if they come for that meeting, it's only to seal the deal. So it's a process that they have already started. So I think there's a place for that. But when you consider cost effectiveness, I think the money that is used for such a thing is more effective to do other methods of evangelism, where it's more face-to-face, more smaller, intimate groups than the big, big group. That's my feeling. So in this whole thing about relationships, of course, we come to this place where we are talking about that restoration that God wants, because it has broken down because of sin. This sin has separated us from God. That's what the Bible says, and thus break down in the in communication. Even when you think about the story about the fall of human beings, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, they realized they were not clothed. And when God is God, right? So he knows where they were, and yet he called out to them, "Adam, where are you?" If Adam had been honest and come clean and said, "I don't know," I think the whole story will be totally different, you know. But instead, it's the same thing that we see today. People are hiding, trying to hide their sin, trying to run away from God, basically. So the peace that is broken relationship with even creation, then we see the effects. That's why people say, "Oh, you know, if God is a loving God, why we have tsunami, why we have all these natural disasters, why people are dying," and so on and so on, the usual argument and questions. But they don't realize, as human beings, we are the ones who have caused all this to happen. It's like a domino effect, a progression of what has happened, a consequence. There are people who come to know the Lord in prisons. I've heard of revivals in Brazil, where in the jail, it's like a church. They have come to know the Lord without people actually preaching to them, believe it or not. The Lord has really done something, and slowly the prisoners in there have come to the Lord. And some of them are on death row. And so, even though they have come to know the Lord, truly become believers, they still have to pay for the consequence of their crime. They are not set free. Whenever it is for their execution to come, they will be executed. You know, unless it's some miracle of God, of course that can happen too. Somehow they are pardoned. But by and large, they have to pay for their crime. So, you know, the same with creation and what we see happening in our world today. So God truly yearns for a relationship with his created beings, with human beings. What else does God want? God wants a response. In a love relationship, if it's only one way, it's not a relationship. Those of you who are married, if your spouse didn't love you, I doubt you would have even gotten married. So if you think about this, that God wants first and foremost people to understand Him correctly, and He wants a relationship, then in that relationship must be the response to that love, to that reaching out to them. And so it's not a one-way communication, not a one-way relationship, but that we have a commitment to God. And the response shouldn't be passive. If we see how Jesus communicated, as we did in the beginning with that devotion, Jesus wants a response, whether it is even a response that seemed to reject Him, but it is still a response, an honest response at that time from that person. And sometimes when people didn't exactly respond to Him, He asked a question. We will be learning about religions. Actually, the best way to reach out to people of different religions is questioning, asking them why, as if you don't know, even though you know what the answer is, so that they will think about the answer. Because if you keep on just saying you're wrong, you know, this your religion will take you to hell, it's of the devil, and so on, closes the communication process or, you know, any relationship, because you have insulted them, you have hurt them, you are saying all the things they believe from when they are young up to now is all a lie. Who likes to hear them? Nobody. At least not in the beginning. They are not ready. So you ask questions. Jesus used parables. He told stories. Some were not necessarily a real story in a way, but it had a meaning. We can do both. And He too did both. You can tell a testimony. You can share about some illustration and then give the point of that or let them think. Because when you tell stories and you tell it well, people are drawn in as if they are part of the story. They can place themselves, oh, I'm a little bit like that character in the story. Oh, I seem to have a similar kind of need as that person, and this is how God can address my need. Is it so? You know, it draws people in. And so active response will imply a commitment, either to truly commit or to think about it, or sometimes it is rejection, and that is a part of the person, the respondent. That's why we say the receptor ultimately is the focus. What, how and what will they respond? We cannot force, we cannot predict even sometimes, but we can hope, we can pray. So God's best communication form is, as I've said, the incarnation, where He shows Himself real. And God Himself is center of communication, is incarnation. It's important for us to identify with people, even social outcasts. Jesus didn't wait for people to come to Him. He went to them. He was willing to even be misunderstood. No? The Pharisees, Sadducees, they were His biggest critic, and asking, why is He associating with the sinners and the republicans and the prostitutes? How? You know, if He's a holy man, He will not go to associate with these people and talk to them. But Jesus did, because He loves. God's love reaches out to people of all strata of society. And So we need to make the word of God relevant. And I use word in the two senses of the word of God as the Bible, but also Jesus as the living word of God. And as a result, it comes also to us that we are the living epistles that also show the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Then he looked at his disciples and said, you are the light of the world. So you must reflect God in your communication. So God paid a big price already for us. He sent his son Jesus and his sacrificial death. It is a price we cannot pay, but it is a price that has been paid. And that is our message to others, that this is our privilege. So we are really commissioned to communicate. That's why I don't think I was wrong when I said that when I went to Bible school, they asked me, are you called to be a pastor? Are you called to be a missionary? Are you called to be a pastor's wife? So, I'm called to be a communicator. I believe that is what we have as a topic. So we partner with God to reveal him to humanity because of his work also in our lives. And we express, the express purpose is presenting the scriptures. I worked in Bangladesh, as we have said, and one of my tasks there was actually using scriptures in literacy training. I went there first as a graduate student, looking at doing a master's project. And in my research, I found that the people group that this Danish organization worked with, they use literacy to help the people, educate the people, but also to present the gospel. But what happened was, after they have studied this for nearly 2 years, and there was no follow-up to their training in language, in Bengali language, not English language. After 1 year, they have forgotten everything. They could not even read a simple thing. So the Bible Society wanted to give, little portions of scripture to these people, but they cannot even read. So my suggestion was, let's use those portions of scripture to teach them literacy again, to increase their ability again, and be functional in their literacy. So we use scripture to teach them good news for the farmer, good news for the family, good news for the friend. Sounds very nice in English, so I just say in English. It was good in Bangla as well. Then we observe them. Oh, they like songs. So we got songs done. Scripture in songs in Bengali. And we use famous singers. Some of them were not Christians, but you could hear their songs and voice on radio or TV even. And they were willing to do the production, even though they are not Christians. Oh, very nice songs, very good words. And we say, yes, it's from our holy book. Oh, it's very good, very good. Then we saw they like drama. They're very dramatic people, I can tell you. You know, if they're even a little bit sick, it's as if they are dying, Yes. So we said, okay, drama. So all this combined together, the songs, reading, the drama, and then they also have some workbooks. After 1 year of literacy training, then we test them again after another year. They will continue. And I even visited the groups as they were doing this. they can do the drama themselves. They acted out what was on the tapes. So I realized that, you know, to communicate is to find out really what are their needs. They were farmers. They were very tired. But when you brought the good news, when you showed scripture that Jesus talked about farming, the parables, many parables are agricultural. So it fit in perfectly. They all love family. They love their children, their wives. Of course, some Muslims, so they love more wives than one. They have many children, you know. So family was important to them. The Bible have a lot to say about family. That you should love your wife, you should, you know, train your children, whatever, and so on. So using scripture that address needs that they had was very effective. So it's the express purpose of presenting the scripture. God communicates to us in various ways. We are his ambassadors. We will communicate to those who do not yet know him. And we must find the most creative and effective ways. So these are the things that we have said. Incarnation is the best way. We should be there. You know, in some of the work people have done, they have, God has gone before them and prepared the way. I heard in one World Vision project, World Vision, as you know, helps children and development work. And what was happening was there was a famine in this African nation, I think Chad. And this group of nomadic farmers, they agriculturalists or having anyway sheep or goats. They didn't have sheep, they had goats. All the goats died and they have no more source of, you know, income and anything like that. So World Vision had some money for this to help the people. They did what they could, and then they still had some extra bit, and they managed to buy 100 goats. So the person who was distributing was a pastor. He was also an aid worker for World Vision. And he thought, well, this is a great opportunity to tell the story about the 100 sheep. You see? So, but since it's goats, he just changed them. It's goats. So he started telling his story. At first, the people were very quiet. And then as he told the story, they became noisy, start talking very loud. And he stopped, you know, he got afraid what was happening. He didn't understand their language. He spoke another language. Was through the interpreter. So he asked the interpreter, what's happening? Why are they so excited and so noisy now talking among themselves? And so the interpreter found out from the chief. So they're all quiet. The chief talked to the pastor. He said, we already know this story. We were told that this is a story that will bless our people, will help our people. And we should believe the person who comes to tell this story again to us. And the pastor was just blown away. God already prepared his people to receive this communication. So, communicate, communicate, communicate. Our task is to do that as the church. Be careful of the words we use, because we may think we are sending a certain message, but it is the receptor who gives meaning to the words we say. We can use the word baby. Baby can be a small child. Baby can be a term of endearment. Baby can just mean something small. A baby taxi is a small taxi in Bangladesh. So be careful of the words and meanings that we are communicating the right meaning. You must be born again. What does that mean? Reincarnation? Born again? Even Nicodemus misunderstood when that was first said to him. He asked Jesus, how can I go become a baby again and be born again? You see, so words in themselves do not have necessarily the meaning. We assign the meaning to that word. So be careful. Our method, our best method is love. Whatever communication you use, people will know whether it's genuine, it is true, and if it's done in a loving manner or not. God's receptor-oriented approach demands high respect for the receptors, trust in them as persons, being vulnerable in our communication. That's when Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman. He could have just said, she's just a woman, she's just a Samaritan. He had a divine appointment with her. And he told her as it is. But he, I believe, did so with respect. So the question is about preaching. Some of you are preachers here. Most of you have preached, I'm sure. So is it the best way of communication? Many Christians believe it's the only way. Some believe that the sermon is the most effective way to bring change in the lives of people. Should a sermon be monologue or dialogue? Incarnation is life involvement with people. So is it just preaching to them? What's your opinion?
Not only preaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Oh. Okay, just talk a little bit among yourselves, okay? What do you think about preaching? Okay, don't just talk to the people in your table, have a chat.
One of the ways, but not.
Why yes, why no?
Not only we, right? There are
why yes and no?
And preaching is just one part of it.
How about the more effective?
Effectively, it's like the lifestyle and transformation, incarnation.
I think the relationships
interaction.
We have both people that relationship.
And I think preaching is like from one way. So sometimes some people will not agree with the preaching, and sometimes preaching or sermon cannot like meet the need of people who maybe some people have the problem in deep term, but then the preaching is just only talk about this term. So some people feel. I see myself in this sermon, so they want to change, but some other, they don't feel that it's a fit to their life, so they don't want to change, or it will not change the life of that person. I think so.
Yes.
Incarnation is
life. We may meet understood tonight. Tonight we have a different concept about the other receiving some message and the whole thing in all ways.
I think a communication is like preaching is only talk and other people have to listen, but I think communication is like sharing, and also like people should be like sympathize and also in understand their story, then they can make the conversation more effective. So if I feel preaching or sermon is more like teaching, or like how can I say this? Just make people tend to follow this way, but maybe other people they maybe agree with this or they will not agree.
There are some concerns about this, and some idea, want to ask something about that. It's just not me, but there is another question mark. Want to ask them.
Cũng em muốn có anh
mơ không hả?
Có từ đấy có từ khi có từ đã chụp chứa nhỉ?
Cô đấy là khỏi được luôn. Nó không được khỏi.
So it should be dialogue.
So it should be dialogue. Summarize a little bit about your discussion.
So dialogue is
upfront, John, Marie, and David. To summarize. Okay, let's listen to them, okay?
Okay, we came up with an agreement that we can use some other methods rather than the preaching. If the preaching style or sermon style is effective to communicate with the people there, then we can use the preaching and sermon style. But if it is not effective to communicate with them, then you know maybe we can use some other methods like storytelling. But the important thing is the content should come from the Bible, the truth.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good. I just
had one the verse here in Romans chapter. Then I just add on to it. How then they will hear in Romans chapter 10 verse 14 to 15. How then will they call upon him in whom they have not believed, and how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard, and how are they to hear without someone preaching, and how are they to preach unless they are sent, as it is written. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news.
We're not putting down preaching, but we're asking the question of effectiveness.
We think like preaching is not only way of communicating, because there's many way to communicate. And also we think preaching or sermon is like from one side, and preacher is the one who talk and other people is listener, and they cannot interact or like something is like they agree, something they disagree, so they cannot interact but just listen. Or in sermon, like it's not the most effective way to bring change in the life of people, because like it depends on the story of that person. And if they feel that this sermon, they see themselves in that sermon, so then can affect to them. But maybe some other situation, they don't feel that. And also, it should be dialogue. And we think like, some, for example, prophet also, the like a middleman to share God's word to his people. So and if just listen to God's word, it is just only like commandment. But if the people respond, and that is communication. Yeah. We think so. So communication is like need to listen and also respond. So yeah, we think so.
For us, some I've met Korean churches really emphasize preaching, and it is really important to them.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly to their siblings or children, mm-hmm. who really attend churches.
Okay.
And also for Auntie Christy,
mm-hmm.
They usually have this gathering of foreign workers,
mm-hmm.
and they also share their testimonies with each other about healing.
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, they have this community that the foreign workers will accept Jesus Christ in their lives. And for us, in most of young people, because I'm still handling youth for this time, so we actually meet each other once a week, and we share our stories throughout the week. And then after that, if they shared about this kind, and I also prepared a verse,
mm-hmm.
and it really impact them, because the verse is for us,
mm-hmm.
as well.
Yeah.
And that verse comes from God. So we also, after that, we also have like prayer requests. What are your prayer requests? Something like that. And they didn't actually attend on our Sunday services, but we have a youth gathering that they could attend in that, because most of young people in this in the Philippines, I will be burned, something like that, if I go to the church, something like that. So the best thing that we could share to them is have a small group, and after we engage them, we actually invite them to one of youth gatherings, something like that. And if they attended a church or Sunday service, something like that, and if they are just, we call it baby Christian, something like that, after the Sunday service, we actually do small group again,
mm-hmm.
and
discuss
about the preaching, and ask them about what is the word of the Lord for you,
mm-hmm.
This Sunday service.
It's a very effective. Me and Benjamin.
Excuse me. No, okay. We have come across that preaching, by preaching we are relating to them only 40 to 45% of a message to the people. And it requires a lot to get across the message to others. And it is by really coming down to the level of the people, by staying with them, alongside with them, get to know them very well, know their cultures and traditions and all their beliefs, then it would be possible for us to pass on the gospel to the others. Preaching consists of the only 40 to 45% of relating the message to us.
I've been in situations where, and most of y'all are saying similar thing, that somehow there must be a response. There must be an understanding. There must be some way to gauge whether the message actually got through, for us to know whether it's effective. So I think that this is something churches, pastors, preachers need to look into, especially when they are guiding the senior pastor or the lead pastor of a church, and not just assume that the people are blessed through the message. Of course they are, but have you made the maximum impact on them? And that people are leaving each Sunday with really a message that have some relevance to their everyday life. So this is something that, you know, small groups, after some way in which there's a response, must be there. I've been in a Mennonite service. Mennonites are very not charismatic necessarily, but I think they are very spiritual. I was only given 10 minutes to speak. The rest of the time, the people could respond to the message. And some responded like, oh, I think this song fits in to the message.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God gave me a picture when you were speaking this. I was thinking about this and that. And you could see God was working in their minds and in their hearts with just the short verses and message that God used me to just bring to them. And I thoroughly enjoyed myself because I could hear for immediate response whether what I said meant anything to them. Not everybody responded, that's fine. And that is how the sermon works. But there was some immediate effect on the different people. Nowadays, preachers use something like, oh, say amen, tell to your seatmate, this and that. They're using methods like that. It's okay. That's another way of doing it. But we need to find ways. The latest I have heard is young people, of course, they use their cell phone a lot. They can have an app there that can give, you know, prayer requests, or I accept Jesus, and send directly to the church leadership, to somebody who is collecting all these messages. So again, communication two ways is important. So some tough questions about this. Have we devoted enough time to reflection on what the gospel is for the context we are communicating to? How do we make that relevant? I told you, Gabe. The example, you know, of Bangladesh, how we use scripture in agricultural situation, for families, for friendship. How have we devoted our efforts on refining the packaging without examining the product? In other words, some people, let's say they have this Bible or this book, they take a lot of effort to make sure it looks beautiful and nice and everything. But what is the content of that product? I think more attention should be given to the message it is bringing. Thirdly, is it effective to broadcast Western programs in non-Western countries? Another way, is it effective to sing Western songs in non-Western contexts? I love encouraging people to write their own songs, use their own tunes, things that mean more meaningful to the listeners, to the audience, to the people group, rather than just, oh, let's just translate, very easy, you know, because they already make the song and everything, I just change the words into my language. But sometimes it's not the most effective way. Should Christian programs and literature be specific to local contexts in obedience to Christ, or should it just be preaching? Maybe a combination of both is a good thing, but we should be looking at the specific context and situation, not just translate, import from somewhere, because it's easy, already done. Now, sometimes we have to think. We need to have that team of people we talked about earlier to bring up the thing that people really need. So the essential content is the Bible, and the Bible should address all people, and as the Holy Spirit speaks to us today. God's word is a way of Him disclosing Himself or revealing Himself. And God has provided then the church with a uniform message. Our message is not different. We may represent different denominations, different church traditions, that is okay. But as far as possible, we have the same Bible. We have the same God. We have the one faith, one baptism, one God. So our message aims at communicating true peace. And this includes theology, psychology, sociology, and even ecology. Shalom. It is the message of shalom. Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. But the context is changing. You can say, well, historical context doesn't change, and I agree with that. But the thing is, it changes in that we have different historical contexts in different countries, so that does change. It's the same history, maybe, for the same country. And sometimes it depends on whose perspective it is, who is telling the historical story. So in that way, it can change. Cultural context changes. Society changes. Things are not the way it was 5 years ago and today. Everyday things seem to change almost so quickly because of technology and political context, educational context, media context, spiritual context, church context, personal context. These were things actually I studied in my dissertation to talk about how communication affects people. Many of these are the background things that we must look at carefully before we embark on doing some things. We can say, oh, is it just use the scripture? Scripture should speak. But what is it speaking to? Someone said, you know, we often use this cliche, Jesus is the answer. Then someone asks, what is the question? Because we have different questions. Jesus is still the answer, maybe, to those questions. But what is the question? So, we see another thing that we must be aware of in this communication process. And you mentioned earlier about constants and variables. One of the things we know for sure is about spiritual warfare. Now, I'm not talking about looking for a demon under every chair, behind every bush, you know, not like that. But we know that our enemies are not human beings necessarily. It's what behind the principalities and powers. They are the ones that oppose us. Satan is the one who does not want us to preach the gospel or be effective in our communication. So you will find often the hindrance, the problems we face, you have to ask yourself often, is it a spiritual thing? Even if you're not sure, pray. Make sure that prayer is in the center of everything. That you are constantly asking God, please help me. I know, okay, this product is good, but this media project is good, but without the Lord's blessing, whatever we do can be in vain. And also that we must recognize who is attacking us at times, why things happen the way it's happening. Satan is always on the prowl. But we have the Holy Spirit. This is another constant. The Holy Spirit is at work. We are not the ones to make people become Christians. You realize that? You preach the gospel, but the work of conversion is the Holy Spirit. You leave it with them. This is the message. And then leave it with the Holy Spirit to convict their hearts. You are not the one. You don't have to beat yourself up after that. Oh, I fail, because they are not Christians. You do not know that. You do not know what you did. In the whole process of things, you are part of that picture. And maybe down the line, somebody will come up and say, thank you. That happened to me. This brother chased me out of his house because we were ministering to his wife, and he came home. We thought he's still at work. Came home suddenly, chased all of us out. Several years later, I had already become a missionary in Bangladesh, and they said, oh, somebody will pick you up to go for the church camp. And when I saw who it was, I was afraid. But he chased me, you know. Then he was very kind, very polite. And then I couldn't hold it back. I sat in the car and then I said, brother so-and-so, do you remember you chased me out of your house? I said, yes, I remember. And then he told his story. It's a bit sad, but that's how God used that whole situation. He said his eldest daughter died in a very tragic accident. But she had been a Christian. She loved the Lord. And his wife was just devastated. And the only thing that could comfort her was being in church, being with Christians, that she could pray and she could receive comfort from God. So he started attending church with her instead of chasing people out of his house. And he said this, he said that he too was comforted. He too heard the word of the Lord and became a Christian. You know, I thought it's a lost cause. This man is too hard, impossible, so angry with all of us. But God didn't see him like that. So the work of the Holy Spirit is there, and he is the one to bring the people to Christ. So effective communication, from God's perspective, it's the whole big picture. It's for us to just communicate who he is. His love, Jesus coming for the people of the world, to die for them, for their sins, to be resurrected from the dead, so that we are believing in a living God who gives us hope for the future, for heaven. From the Christian communicator's perspective, effective communication is doing our best, looking at the whole situation, producing something that is excellent, not slipshod, not simply do, but something that we have really researched, done our best, get what we can, the best that we can. The best may not be, super quality as in the world, because we may not have that kind of facilities or something. But to the level we can, we do our best, we give to the people, get it to them in their hands. From the receptor's perspective, which we want the most at the end of the day. Of course, God's perspective is the most important, but then next is the receptor, that they understood what you are trying to say to them correctly, and that they will respond to God appropriately. So that is, we have to see from all these different angles. So the constants and variables that we talked about in a more complete form will be the presence of evil, he said, spiritual warfare. On the variables, the context is changing always. The constant is that human beings have sinful nature. The variable is the position of a receptor can change. Just as I said, that man at first looked like very hard, very far away from God, very negative. But somewhere along the way, he changed. He became more positive and more positive until he became a Christian. And now even growing to become a leader or committed to church. So the position of people changes according to context, according to situation. The revelation of God is the same. It's the true God. The personality of and gifts of the communicator can change. You and I, we are changing. Who we were 10 years ago is not who we are today. Our skills in communicating will hopefully improve. Our gifts, both natural as well as from the Holy Spirit, will be enhanced. That changes. The work of the Holy Spirit doesn't change. Faith, not our faith should grow, right? But faith, as such, is a constant, must be there. The word of God doesn't change. The goal that we have, that people will become disciples of Christ, will not change. But the methods of communication may change. Okay. I need to change slides here. Bear with me a few more minutes, 10 minutes. I want to start us off with some of these things that we can see in that process of communicating is also using what we understand about communication, and models will help us. They give us some concepts, some way of explaining the reality. The first that we've been a bit critical of has been preaching, because one of the traits of preaching could be that it could be just one-way communication. Actually, there's no such thing as one-way communication, because communication means two ways. It means community, means relationship, means communion. But there's some sort of one-wayness of trying to say something and there's no feedback, there's no response. Okay, it's like an ejection where we just, you know, receive only. We don't know what is the response. But this is where communication can get a little bit more complex, but it shows us how communication can work between two persons. So, Brother A has something to say to Sister B. Words are selected and arranged in a sequence or a sentence. This is what we call encoding. So I'm encoding now. Teacher, listeners, students, you all are listening. So I'm hoping you are understanding what I'm saying. Okay? The message is then an intended content and effect. I intend for you to understand me. I hope the effect will be, you will be more effective in your communication. You learn something. But when it is transmitted, it is through a channel, which is by talking, by texting, phone call, whatever. Okay? So, between A and B. The hope is Sister B will encode the message and her perceived content and actual effect will be the same as Brother A's intention. Okay? So, if we were to say this person, Brother A, says something like that. Whatever means, ding, 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 he communicates to Sister B, but she receives, is it this or she receives this? He thinks square, she thinks triangle. Miscommunication. Somewhere here, breakdown. The only way this interpersonal model is effective is that this one is the same as this one. Correct? Simple. That's an interpersonal model. Then you talk about mass communication, right? Big group, many, many people. So it becomes even more complex. Because interpersonal is just two people and, you know, you, okay, whatever, could still break down because of lack of attention or whatever. But mass communication is this times how many hundreds or thousands of people you are talking to. The challenges are attention, acceptance, interpretation, and then the actual response. So, if here there are many, many B people, the A person is communicating to all these people. Some will get the square, some will get the triangle, some will get a rectangle. They will get all sorts of possible messages if A is not effective in his or her communication. Okay? So the mass media mainly reinforces or should mainly reinforce existing conditions, but in some cases can cause great changes. So, for example, a campaign. In Singapore, at one time, they want to limit the number of the population. So they had a campaign where if you're married, you should stop at 2. That was the campaign. It was ingrained into the people only to have 2 children. If they have more than 2 children, they have to pay more money. There's something in like China, you know, the one-child policy and so on. So it's that same kind of concept. Problem was, those professionals decided, why I should have 2? Maybe I only have one child. That's enough. I should look after this child, bring him or her up. I have more money to spend on the child. And then some even thought, why have two? Don't have any. Because too expensive. Better we just be husband and wife, enough. So different things went out. It actually changed the whole situation. Because Singapore population shrunk, more foreign workers were needed. Actually, now I think Singapore runs because of foreign workers. So now they change their campaign. They say, have as many children as you want. In fact, you will get more benefit and so on. So now maybe their population is. So mass communication can have negative effect. Mass communication is used by political groups so that they ingrain into people their agenda by bombarding them, you know, through the media in different ways. Then you have interaction, model of interaction. Communication is the circular. Yes.
You already said about communication. It is always the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, correct.
To convert, and to illuminate.
Yes,
enlighten them. Then, if you preach the gospel, if you preach them, means we just do our part, and then it is the part of the Holy Spirit to enlighten them.
Yes.
What is the danger of preaching the gospel to the mass?
I think, as we've said, people may misconstrue things, and the effectiveness for me is not there necessarily unless a lot of the background work has been done. So for me, the danger is that the message is not really clearly understood and perceived by the people, because it really depends on what is being preached. Like I think someone said, maybe Venus said, you know, what is the message? Who does it impact? For some, they receive, others, they reject. That's something you cannot control. So, but in a mass situation, how are they going to ask? How are they going to clarify if they have any doubt? It's only later, maybe, they can get that chance to ask their friend or so on. But let's say they don't have somebody that they know there, and they just snuck in, and then they snuck out again. So I think it's like what we say, you know, just casting the seed around, hoping it will grow. And Jesus told that parable. Some of the seeds will be very fruitful. Others, the sun will come, the birds will come, and it's destroyed. So I think mass evangelism is something like that. If their follow-up is strong, then God bless them. I believe it can preserve the harvest. But if they do not do that, it's just fallen by the wayside. That's what I think. Okay? Let me end with one more model, and then we'll come back to this tomorrow. The model of interaction. Communication is where it's a circular process, encoding, decoding. Feedback is what causes the flow back and forth. And the response is central to the communication. And at the end, the interpreter hints at the problem of meaning. So encoding means the person is, it is sent, it is transmitted through a channel, media channel, as we said. These channels can be anything, can be radio, television, which uses audio visual. And then finally, on the receptors, but how do they decode? The decoding is their frame of reference. If you're talking in a language or in terminology that is not familiar to them, then it's hard to decode. I often say Christians, we speak a certain language. It is called Christianese. We use born again, we use salvation, we use words familiar to us because now we know this meaning. But not necessarily the person you are speaking to who's not yet a Christian, that this means anything. Your words are just blah, blah, blah to them. No meaning. Because they cannot, they don't have the frame of reference. And so you need to make sure you are giving them the meaning somehow within their context of understanding that. But God is God, Holy Spirit is Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. One friend, when he was doing evangelism, street evangelism, he doesn't speak Chinese with the terminology of the Christians. He just tried, he's just a new Christian. So he was trying to explain to this non-Christian, God has no beginning and no end. Mm-hmm. So in Chinese, they have a phrase where God has no head and no tail. So he used that and shared that, you know, God is eternal and he has no head and no tail. And the person became a Christian. So sometimes even we use not the right terminology, but the right message got through. Yeah. A person can still accept the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. So what are we encoding and what are they decoding is a main thing. Okay? So I leave you for today. You have received a lot of information. Yes, David, is there any
do you think that there's a difference between just another term of word that leads us to compromise the aspect?